Well, man, what a service we've had today. You know, if you're visiting with us, definitely, you know, just know that today was atypical, but atypical in a great way, I think. You know, it was an amazing thing to see the children get up here and to see them give their heart, you know, to serve the church. You know, Ann told me, she said, a lot of times we generally use adults to do most of that, but the middle schoolers really wanted to be a part of it and to give. And I think that's just phenomenal. Go ahead and be turning your Bibles over to Ephesians chapter 6. I've got a really short sermonion, if you will, a sermon communion today. And I thought, you know, with the whole idea of the family experience and our theme this month being made new by the word, and you look at what they really shared about peace, you know, how can those all sort of tie together? And I really started thinking about, you know, what does the Bible have to say about family? What does the Bible have to say about family? So over in Ephesians chapter 6, we're going to start there in a moment. You know, if you tried to come last week, you know, if you're just visiting, you might have seen a sign on the door. We had a joint service over in Roswell with Northview, which, you know, I was telling people, my favorite part of the service, I had really two, was just being in the room with everybody. You know, it was just great just to see, honestly, so many, like Natasha said, so many new friends with a lot of my old friends, and we were just all there together, worshiping God. And the second thing was just the singing and the worship. You know, I was up in the second row. We're creatures of habit. I sit in the second row here. I sit in the second row over there. And just to hear it, you know, and to look around and see the faces of people just worshiping God. You know, I'm grateful for what Mark shared and, you know, what Steve shared. But for me, it was just, you know, coming together, taking the Lord's Supper with people that I love. You know, that to me is what it really is all about. Remembering Jesus in both our relationship with him and our relationship with each other. Okay? So as we talk about peace this morning, let's look at some scriptures that I think can help really our families, our household, to have peace. And then we'll be taking the Lord's Supper. Over in Ephesians chapter 6, starting in verse 1, it says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, because this is right." All the parents said, yeah. Amen. Right? But here's the thing about it. It's funny, the teens are like, "Fenton, what's up with that?" Right? Here's the thing. It says, "Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with the promise." You know, if you go back and look at Deuteronomy, when God gave Moses the Ten Commandments, you know, he gave them these things that they needed to do. But the first one that had a promise was this one. It said, when you honor your father and mother, look what's going to happen. So that it may go well with you, and so that you may have a long life in the land. But here's the amazing thing. Paul doesn't just write to the children at the church. He's got some instruction for the parents too. Fathers, don't stir up anger in your children. You know, it's so interesting when we think about our society. We've sort of just delegated child raising to the women. We think it's just a woman's job. A lot of us. It's just a woman's job to raise the children. I just need to make money. Right? But here, God, being the ultimate father, has a message directly to the fathers. It says, fathers, don't stir up anger in your children, but bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. Amen. To the fathers in this room, God is giving you a charge to bring up your children in the training and instruction of the Lord. This month we're talking about being made new by the word. How can you bring up your children in the training and instruction of the Lord if you don't know what the instruction of the Lord is? If you're not in your Bible, how can you bring your children up knowing the Bible if you don't know it? You know, we looked up here and it said, today's the day when the children get to teach their parents about God, which is amazing. But really, sometimes we think, oh, it's the teacher's job. The Sunday school teachers, the Bible class teachers, they need to teach my children. And we kind of push it up on the teen leaders or the middle school leaders to have a good relationship with my children and teach them about God. But God says right here, fathers, it is your job to bring up your children in the training and instruction of the Lord. If you talk about how can you have peace, right? How can you, you know, proving you care more about each other than winning an argument? That type of peace only comes from Jesus Christ. It only comes from you knowing that you're secure in the fact that God is going to take care of you and that God is your Lord and you're not your Lord. It gives you a peace. When Jesus is Lord of your life, it's like, all right, he's got it. I don't have to do everything. What do I have to do? Bring my children up in the training and the instruction of the Lord. Don't exasperate them. Don't stir up anger in them. You know, I started with this part because I figured, you know, all the parents in the room are going to be like, yes, amen. But it's interesting. Again, the original Bible didn't have chapters and verses. This was just one letter. Let's read back in Ephesians chapter 5. Right before this, he doesn't just talk about parenting and children. He talks about marriage too, because that's really where that peace is going to start. Look up in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 22. It says, wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord. Because the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church. He is the savior of the body. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives are to submit to their husbands in everything. Man, that's kind of a radical message for us today. We just talked about a second ago, you know, this world says, well, raising children is just the woman's job. The other thing the world says, kind of in a weird way sometimes, is that, but submission? Natasha's like, to Fenton? What? But it keeps going. Paul didn't just write to the wives. Here's the good part. I mean, this whole thing is a good part, but here's the stuff that really gets to my heart when you truly understand it. It says, husbands, verse 25, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her. Once, you know, a brother explained this to me, a brother in Kansas City by the name of Richard Dixon. He said, you know, this scripture isn't fair. When I say that, your immediate thought is, no, it's not fair. Why do wives have to submit to their husbands? But he really explained it. He said, it's not fair because guess what? I have to love my wife the way Jesus loves the church. It's not fair. It's not meant to be fair to the husbands. You're the head of the household. You need to raise up your children in the training and instruction of the Lord. You need to lead your household and be the head of your household. And how do you do that? Well, by loving your wife the way that Jesus loves his church. Think about that for a second. How did Jesus love the church? What did he do for the church? Well, he gave himself up for her. He sacrificed his whole life for the church. Husbands, do you sacrifice your whole life for your family? Not just hours at the office to make money. Do you sacrifice your whole life for your family? Are your wives' dreams more important to you than yours? Are your children's dreams more important to you than yours? That same brother, he told me, you know, one semester I had just, and it's a lot like this semester, I was crazy busy. I was teaching at two different universities at night, and I had a full-time job teaching at a school during the day. And we were leading a Bible talk out of our house, and we had just one kid, Chloe. This is when we lived in Kansas City. And I just was like, Richard, man, I don't know. This is crazy. I've got a lot going on. He said, bro, you need to get up earlier. And it just stuck with me. I need to get up. I need to sacrifice my life for my family to do well. It keeps going. It said, how did Christ love the church? He gave himself up for her to make her holy, cleansing her with the washing of water by the word. He did this to present the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or anything like that, but holy and blameless. In the same way, Husbands are to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hates his own flesh, but provides and cares for it, just as Christ does for the church, since we are members of his body. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. This mystery is profound, but I am talking about Christ and the church. To sum up, each of you is to love his wife as himself, and the wife is to respect her husband. He said, you need to be washing her. Jesus washed the church with water through the word. We're talking this month about being made new by the word. Husbands, do you wash your wife with the word? What does that mean? What does that look like practically, Fenton? What are you even talking about? Am I supposed to get the Bible, melt it down, and in some, you know, what does that even mean? Well, do you even talk to your wife about the scriptures? Do you talk to her about what God is doing in your life? Do you give her a sense of security? Because here's the deal. No woman wants to submit to a man that hasn't submitted to Jesus. It doesn't work that way. It won't work that way. You can't have this type of peace. Because guess what? If you haven't submitted to Jesus, you're going to care more about winning that argument. But I'm right. We need to turn left here, Natasha. I know I'm right. You're going to care more about winning the argument than you are about having peace when you're Lord of your life and Jesus isn't Lord. And so it says, Jesus washed the church by the water through the word. This month we're talking about being made new by the word. The only way it's possible is if we're getting in our Bible. You know, we put together this calendar. We're reading through Luke and Acts. We've been reading about two chapters a day. Yesterday, I took Chloe to a soccer game in Augusta, so I had a long drive, and we just listened to the whole book of Acts on an audio Bible. You know, some people don't, it's hard for some people to just sit down and read. Here's the thing that's amazing. You know, in the first century, most people were illiterate, and they had people read the word to them. So if you're not a reader in that sense, don't feel bad. Listen to the Bible. That's why there's a Bible app. Press the little play button, it'll play it for you. You know? But it's amazing. When you really look at this scripture, it goes back to Deuteronomy 6. We'll close out here. You know, God was sort of reinforcing what he had said in Deuteronomy 6. After Moses had been given the law, the people of Israel basically told God, yes, we're gonna obey these things. We're gonna listen. We're gonna make this covenant with you. God gave them a deal, a covenant, a relationship. Follow me. Hey, this is what you need to do if you want to have a relationship with me. And the people said, yes, we'll do this. And then over in Deuteronomy 6, starting in verse 4, it says, listen, Israel, or Shema, O Israel. And when they would say that, the people would respond, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. These words that I am giving you today are to be in your heart. Repeat them to your children. Talk about them when you sit in your house and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Bind them as a sign on your hand and let them be a symbol on your forehead. Write them on the doorposts of your house and on your city gates. Hear, O Israel, hear God's people. The Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love him with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. That is what it means to follow God. If you're visiting today, you're like, what does it mean? This is my first time in church, maybe, or my first time in church in a long time. I really want to get a relationship with God. This is what it means to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, mind, and strength. But it doesn't stop there. I love what God told Moses to tell these people. This stuff needs to be in your heart. It says, repeat them to your children. Do you have family devotionals? Now, for some people, it doesn't work. I remember when Noelle was really little, we tried it, and it was just always a nightmare. You see her now. I mean, it was times 10 when she was like 2 or 3, you know? And it was just so difficult. And so, honestly, during that time, some of you may judge me hard for this, we would do them. We'd let her go to bed, and then we'd do it with Chloe. Now, we still pray with Noel at night, and, you know, but it was just, you know, for some families, a family devotional, it just doesn't work, particularly when they're little. But when they're this age, when they're Hassan's age and Taylor's age, it says, impress them upon your children. Amen. Impress them upon your children. Talk about them when you sit in your house and when you walk along the road. You just need to be oozing scripture. Your children need to see that your relationship with God isn't Sundays from 10 to 12 and Wednesdays from 7 to 8:30. So as we go and take the Lord's Supper today, remember that Jesus washed you by the water through the word. He sacrificed himself for you. He gave up his life on that cross so that you could have peace. Teach that to your children. Let's pray.